Welcome, everybody, to Hold That Thought. My name's Sean Samuel, and I'm going to be your host tonight. Tonight, we are in the studio with Dane Myers. Welcome, Dane.
Hello.
Dane is a founder and CEO of Custom Tracks, the worldwide recording studio for independent music makers. He's a founding partner of Wholehearted Productions, the local Orlando production company for singer-songwriters, where we're having our interview today.
That's Dane, right.
Thanks for having me out. I am really excited about this. One of the things I last time we spoke with was getting people educated on the business. And I love the fact that you have taken the initiative in Orlando and will be educating some of your friends and coworkers.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Thanks for coming all the way over here to talk about that.
Not a problem. One of the things I love is in your slogan, it says creating an isness of impact in the new age music industry. When did you realize that it was time to start educating the masses on the new age industry?
When I stumbled into kind of the startup scene here in Orlando, I kind of just happened into it through some friends invited me out to a place where the startup scene was really popular. And so I kind of get on in some of their meetings and started to pick up on their vocabulary and like some people would recommend some books. And I started recognizing that this was the second half of what it means to make impactful art, the second half that we'd been missing as people who had previously just made music. And I was so hungry for it without realizing it. But as soon as I was taking part in these conversations, I was getting that that information and that entrepreneurial spirit of, okay, you have an idea, you have a product, you have a song. Like, how can we make this really matter to the people that you want to connect with and that you want it to matter for? How can we have impact with this product? Yeah.
That is a huge thing, marketing your product. So it's one thing to create the art, and everyone has to create it, and we understand that. But the biggest thing I see people neglecting is actually the business side. So they create this beautiful masterpiece song, or they have a kick-ass band, but then they don't follow through with anything else.
Yeah.
So that, and that's why I'm here tonight, because I'm going to be talking later on about the booking side, and you and I will probably shoot the shit more about the industry and how we can correct all the negatives and start moving forward. Why is it so crucial for artists to learn more about the business side of the industry? Why do you think?
Because we need your music, because we need great artists to arrive and to not to just make art that's meaningful and that's incredible, but we need to get it. We need the people who are suffering because they don't have that sort of articulation of their feelings and they don't have that sort of voice representing them. We need them to have your meaningful music and have access to it. And so your art doesn't end with writing that song or recording it. Your art extends through the way you design your website, the way you brand your message, the way that you reach out to those people who you care and want to reach.
You nailed that. That's right on spot. I see a lot of websites. I see a lot of social media. I see a lot of platforms with artists, and they have this beautiful art, this great song, but it just ends there.
Yeah.
The neglect on the business side, and we definitely need to get that out. I'm really excited about this, and I'm excited to finally make it to Custom Tracks, which is in Orlando, and it's just a beautiful, got a great setup here. From your experience, where are the musicians that you're working with, where are they getting their business education from?
Well, so our local studio here, where we are today, this is for our local artists. And these are the people that we get the most FaceTime with. We get the most qualitative experience of, and we know them personally. we sit in a room and we work on stuff that's really important to them together. And for custom tracks, those artists are in another faraway land of some sort, be it another country, another part of the United States. And those are the people that we're kind of assuming are similar to the artists that we've had so much experience with here in Orlando. But the ones from the artists from Wholehearted, who are the ones that we really get to know, a lot of the actionable information that people have comes from kind of these like stereotypical assumptions about what it means to be in the music business. And a lot of the associations with the music business aren't necessarily positive ones. And that's kind of why we're branding our message as an isness rather than a business. And it's kind of a meaningless change of the terminology, except for the fact that music business carries so many unknowable connotations with it. So I think they're getting a lot of their information from people who say you got to get your stuff out there. They're getting their information from platforms, like different social media platforms that encourage them that, like, you know, your audience is all on our platform and you've got to just post yourself blind. You've just got to post and post and post. And I think that there's a lot of kind of low vibration, low frequency information that is getting picked up by artists when they're really the ones that need to be digging deeper to a deeper level of what, of how to carry their art out into the world.
I think the research definitely needs to go outside and it needs to go deeper, where artists need to think about what they're researching and think about the platform that they're getting their information from and move forward. And also, one of the main reasons I started this podcast was because I want to communicate with people in the trenches. I want to get to know them better, and I want to get to figure out what you're doing to spread your message and how I can help you. And I'm really looking forward to this. It's my episode 3 today. Yeah. So
congratulations.
Thank you. We're on a roll here. Okay. So how has Custom Tracks improved your business relations in the music industry?
It gives us a way to step out of the current schema of like producer or artist that we would normally be in to talk to industry people. The industry right now, because of the turmoil it's in, or just because of the commotion that it's experiencing right now, is very receptive to the term startup. And if you're bringing a new idea to the table that somehow incorporates technology, the industry people who recognize that there's no longer the money in their field that there has been, you know, streaming is stripping away a lot of the rights that songwriters have previously enjoyed. The studio business is quickly decentralizing to you know, home studios.
Do it yourself.
They're scared. And what's that?
Do it yourself studios.
Yeah, do it yourself. Do it yourself. There's the technology now. There's the tools. So we can have conversations with people that we otherwise may not have had the opportunity to, because we can say that we're a startup that's doing something new in the industry. And they're all ears about that. You know, the management of artists who are looking to invest in, you know, I mean, like a kind of cliche, obvious example is Tidal, like Jay-Z. These artists are looking to diversify the money that they have into new things that are going to be part of the new music industry, because they realize that the current model is broken.
Oh, the current model has been broken for years. I think my good friend Brian Spotts rode with me over from Tampa today, and we were talking about royalties and Pandora and Spotify. And I think Brian mentioned something like collecting $1.50 on his his Pandora payout, and it was very, very little. And he was said, I might want to look into that and get an entertainment lawyer. But there are so many platforms and they're spread out differently. A lot of artists and musicians are solely surviving off their touring.
Yeah.
So they're surviving off getting paid at gigs, and they're surviving off the merchandise that they sell. not all bands sell merchandise, but it's just a way to monetize the band and get more out there. I see so many bands who don't take advantage of that. So if you're listening at home and you have a band, get creative. Put some cool merchandise together, and it doesn't have to be t-shirt. It could be outside the box thinking, sell some yoga pants. I'm pretty sure there's not a girl in town who wouldn't dig a pair of yoga pants.
Yeah, some branded. Yeah, now you're getting creative. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So what is the easiest way to? Oh, hold on. Let me scratch that. Let me backtrack. Here's a question, and this stems from my last podcast, episode 2 with David Brimer. I'm a soloist, and I want to record a couple of tracks here at Custom Tracks. Mm-hmm. What can I expect when working with a studio musician or a session player?
Yeah, I just had an article ASCAP and Hypebot published about the same topic, what to expect when working about with session musicians. And so I guess just to reiterate a couple of points from there is I think that the number one thing in any product development that you're doing is get the right people on your team, is get the best people that you can to invest themselves wholeheartedly in what you're trying to create. And especially in a process like making a record that can become a really long process and that requires your creative energy to stay fresh and to stay at 100%, having great people can help you build momentum. Having people that create problems on a regular basis for your project can really make it a drag.
Completely derail the project.
Yeah, and can just make it not fun, can help bring down the energy. And so the better caliber of musicians that you can find to include in your project, we've always seen it be a good investment because you're not going to pay for editing time, you're not going to pay to retract things. You know, you're going to have the people on your production team that do other things besides play instruments be more excited about working on your project because they're going to get to be working with music that includes musicians that really excite them and make them passionate about what they're doing.
That's awesome. Yeah. I can see the passion as you speak, and very few people speak with that type of passion.
Well, thank you.
So it's nice to be surrounded by that. And I'm really excited because later on tonight I will be giving a presentation on booking, and it's something I've done for 7 years and I'm passionate about, and I know.
Oh, we're so thankful that you came to breathe some of that experience into our ears.
Yeah, like if I can
figuratively.
If I can get one person to maybe change the way they look at something or do something, I'll feel like I've been successful. Back to session players.
Yeah.
What is the easiest way to break into the market as a session player?
To be really good and to play a lot so that people know you. And I think that's the difficult thing about being a touring musician or being a session player. Is it's still one of the areas of music business that is really, at least in my experience, seems to largely be determined upon who you know, because it's all about when somebody needs someone in that moment and that they can call somebody and reach out to somebody. So, I mean, obviously, like you wanna have the kind of chops and you wanna be able to have the quality to your musicianship that makes you eligible for that choice. But other than that, I would just say get out to as many events as you can and start networking with people and start just building trust with people so that when they need somebody, they're going to call you. And if you do a great job for somebody when they're in that vulnerable position of like really needing a musician and they need somebody that can do the job, they're going to call you next time because whoever bailed on them and left them needing somebody last minute, they might not be so keen to work with anymore. So that's, and hearing the stories of the musicians that we work with, that's a lot of how they've gotten into these opportunities is just because they've gone out of their way to make as many connections as they can and build that trust with the community. Yeah.
Yeah, you learn real quick when people start bailing on you. Gmail calendars work wonders.
Yeah.
They're compatible with your phone. You could put in the date and you could know where you're going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just as an example, maybe 4 days ago, we had a session come up last minute and I didn't have a drummer. It was like a Friday night. Everybody was booked. And I'm going through and I saw someone who one of our other session musicians followed on Instagram who was like posting drum videos. And I went and I looked through his stuff and I was like, this kid's really good. I was like, let me see if he's booked. He wasn't booked Friday night. He came out and did the session and we had a great time. We knew a lot of mutual people. But just because he was putting himself out there and he had already had that connection with somebody that I knew, I'd never heard him play before. I never met him. I invited him to come play the session, and I would love to use the guy again. He did a fantastic job, and it turned out really, really well. So
that's awesome. It's the internet's an easy way to connect with people, and it's good to see things work out like that. I'm excited because one of the things I've always wanted to do is I want to connect good musicians with good bands and good studios.
Yeah.
And when someone is in need of an artist, I want to be that go-to guy.
Right.
And to be able to connect them. So we want to expand outside of venues,
mm-hmm.
and get more into the studio. So that's why I'm asking you these questions.
Music. Can you think of anything like it in the world? It's one of the few things that can change a heart. And it's magic putting 4 or 5 people in a room who are incredible at their craft in a way that people around the world can access and collaborate together. Because in today's world of confusion, of disconnection, of anger, music is love made audible. We're just here to help you make yours all it can be. Send us your song. We'll record and produce your music. CustomTracks.com. Because your music matters.
On to our dinner table topics.
Yeah.
And I picked this up off Wait But Why. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah,
I love that,
man.
Blog. I have their life calendar on my wall in there.
That's what you were telling me last time.
We quickly checking off weeks till my death.
That's awesome. Brian introduced me to it, and you and I spoke about it, and it's just phenomenal. The questions are great, and it's okay to think.
Yeah.
Definitely. So here we go. How do we evolve in regards to new technologies and new systems in a way that, I can't even read my own writing.
That's, it's a deep question when you have trouble.
Let's start that over again. How do we evolve in regards to new technologies and new systems in a way that promotes art, allows artists to make a living, and balances the needs of music lovers?
Okay.
That's on you. I'll give you my take after yours.
Yeah. I think we have to put more intention towards what the role of art is in society. I think that it's kind of this ethereal, amorphous role as being an artist. And I think that there will be a sustainable income and living for an artist that continues to be something that the community wants to keep around. You know, like they'll want to keep booking you or whatever it is, as long as you understand what needs that they have, what suffering that they're experiencing, and as long as you have developed a way through your skills as an artist to be able to alleviate that. So as long as there is some need that needs to be addressed, I think there's a sustainable role for the artist to address that, you know, if it can be done through music. And the fortunate thing is I think that now more than ever, we can all probably agree that there is an incredibly confusing societal climate that needs great artists to help us all misunderstand each other less and cut through some of the divisiveness and some of the ugliness. So I think, you know, if we really think about the role that an artist can have and what they can accomplish, then there's very fertile soil for that, you know, to be sustainably impactful.
I feel that we need to focus on 3 things.
Yeah.
Communicate, create, and market. We need to communicate our message between whoever we're sending that out to. So, for example, if you're getting ready to play an original venue or you're getting ready to play a cover venue, mm-hmm. the communication needs to be there between the either the agency or the venue owner. So you know exactly what you're getting when you're going to play that music venue.
Yeah.
The venue owner knows exactly what they're getting. So I think communication is key, because a lot of venue owners and a lot of agents are under an assumption that a band may save their failed business plan.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case.
Right.
Bands are not meant to do that. So if we can communicate that, and we could get bands on the same page as the venue owners,
sure,
where we sit down and we actually say, hey, okay, let's talk about this. We are willing to grow with you. We'll stop. We're going to start playing here once every month. What can we do to make each other's programs better?
Sure.
How can we make be better artists, and how can you guys promote our art better?
Right.
And I think that is the one thing that bands and owners and agents, I'm guilty of it, fail to do, is to communicate what product and service you are providing. Marketing. I really feel that there is a ton of good artists and musicians, especially in the Tampa, Orlando area, but I feel that a lot of them just fail to market. I feel that artists have this mindset that posting your show on social media is marketing.
Right.
And
you're done.
And you're done. And you, hey, I'm playing at the Freaky Tiki from 9 to 11.
Yeah.
Come see me. Or there's a CD release party. Please come buy my CD.
Right.
And that's it. It's over with. I mean, that. So I feel that artists need to get creative. They need to brand their band or their logo or their solo project. They need to market that on multiple avenues: word of mouth marketing, guerrilla marketing. The other day, I was at Honeymoon Island, and I was taking a walk on Honeymoon Island, and I saw in chalk at Honeymoon Island on the bike path a advertisement for the Suwannee River Music Festival.
Wow.
Someone wrote in beautiful chalk, great penmanship, and
yeah,
this great artwork on the side of the floor.
Wow.
Just on the bike path, and Suwannee River Music Festival. And people don't forget that stuff.
Sure. Sure. That stands out.
Yeah, it definitely stands out. And I think lastly,
shout out to the folks at Suwannee.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And I think lastly, we need to create more. And I just don't think you could create enough. And I think once a true artist gets that in their blood, that's what they want. That's what they want to do. You know, put out as much music as possible. If you're a cover artist, learn as much music as possible. I have guys who just give up on learning new music because they think they know all the music and they don't feel like learning new music or lazy.
Right.
But the more cover songs you learn, the better chops you have, the better artists you become, the more diverse you become, the more tip money you can make. And same thing with being an original artist.
Right.
Create.
Yeah.
I like to draw. I don't consider myself an artist by any means, but I have to have that in my daily life.
Yeah.
And so that's my take on that question.
Yeah, I like that about I think that's a good kind of trichotomy or whatever. You know, I mean, I think that's a good way of breaking down a lot of the, you know, kind of the core issues of what we need to do to move forward. Kind of in each of those, I think maybe one commonality is the need to, in the startup world, it's called MVP. You want to create your minimum viable product, and you want to test that to see if it resonates before you try to get a bunch of exposure. And I think that throughout either venues or marketing, you know, your CD release or playing a cover gig, whatever it is, I think there's not enough attention put towards like, who am I singing to? And what is going to make them incredibly happy? It's all from the perspective of, this is what I have and these are the places that I can play. But if we really sit there and think about, and maybe an exercise to do this is like, write a song, knowing the people in your life that you have relationships with, write a song that is going to relieve somebody in your life, something that they're going through that's going to help them feel like more understood, that's going to help them feel like they belong. Do something that's going to be deeply meaningful for one person in your life. And then when you start to prototype that level of connection, now you can start to think about building a fan base of people who resonate with those same ideas. Maybe you write something about the election that you know there's a large group of people that are upset about, that are confused about, but you're still doing it with that same deep level of quality and connection as when you wrote that song for your best friend. And that's when I think we really start to get traction with our art, is when we understand in terms of relieving someone else's problem.
Well, you're not force-feeding fans to like you.
Exactly.
You're doing it organically.
And you're not showing up at a cover gig and saying, I'm this singer singing some stuff. Y'all need to listen. You're understanding these people are here to have a fun time. You can't demand them to not be on their phones or to not watch the TV screen. You have to show up. And you know, if you're going to show up, like, I have something that I know that these people want in their Friday night. And so I'm here to give it to you, you know, and that's your job to figure out as an artist. And, you know, I understand like that's a very challenging environment, but that's the ball is in your court. That's the entrepreneurial spirit of saying like, this is the problem that I have to solve. Instead of saying, I'm going to play the same gig and I'm going to get no response again.
Look for different results.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to play the same gig and expect different results, but not change anything.
It's depressing because you feel like you're inept. Like you feel like you're inherently not interesting to people. I've done a lot of the cover gig kind of scene, and that's just kind of, you do that enough and you're like, why am I not good enough for people to pay attention to me? And you realize that you're just not bringing the right thing to the right place at the right time, because you're thinking that this is what I do, these are the songs that I play. You're not thinking, what are these people that I'm going to be in front of? What are they trying to feel tonight? Like, what are they craving, and how can I bring that to them, kind of a thing.
Which has got to be extremely challenging,
yeah.
Finding out
yeah.
what they create, what they are craving at that moment, because you have no idea. You could be doing this, even if you're doing all originals, you still don't know what people are craving.
But somebody, you know, that's out there on a Friday night to drink with their friends, they want music that's going to help them release. I mean, this is just an example. I'm not saying that this is necessarily the case, but there's definitely some reason that all those people have come to that place potentially. And if there's not, maybe that's not a place where you're going to be able to build a fan base. Maybe you need to go somewhere where you're able to, you know, maybe it's an original show where you're able to get all people who belong to the LGBT community and sing songs that champion that cause or whatever it is. Or, you know, maybe it's just sadness and you connect with people that connect with something that's less of an articulate quality in art, but that still resonates with people at a deep level. Whatever it is, that I think we need to put more intention behind creating stuff that's going to resonate with people, because that's what design is. I mean, that's what product development is. That's what, you know, people who make things do, is it's like, how can I do something for you? How can I be of service to you? Not, well, I made this, you better like it,
yeah.
You know?
And that is where the isness comes from, because you have to think like a marketer. You
yeah.
have to be able to say, okay, what am I doing that's remarkable?
Yeah.
Who
is it remarkable to?
And who is it right. remarkable to? And that's your fan base. I'm on March will be year 7 for CJS Productions.
Yeah.
And we are.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank God for Carrie, because she's the workload, but the workhorse. But we're having to reinvent ourselves.
Yeah.
Who are our customers?
Yeah.
Who wants our service,
right?
And that goes with anything in the business. And I'm trying to learn the business more, and that's why I'm here. But what is different than, why is your product different than the next band? What are you
Who's
doing?
Who's gonna miss this? Like, if you know, if this didn't exist, who would miss it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And there
yeah.
are a lot of people that will miss it. One of the conversations Brian and I were having on the way over is, what do bars expect from you? And I mean, are things the same now? Like, for example, you walk into a bar and you got 60 flat screens.
Yeah. That's not an exaggeration either.
No, not yeah. at all. So here's the deal with every bar now. You have 30 beers on tap.
Mm-hmm.
You have 60 flat screens. You have every sports game known to man on the screen. And you have a musician in the corner.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened to the feeling back when bars originally started hiring musicians.
Mm.
They brought musicians before the 60 flat screens, before the 30 yeah. beers on tap, yeah. Before the crazy jalapeno pineapple banana split burger.
Right,
the foodies and but. The feeling was originally hired. We brought bands into a venue. We wanted to do live music because we could capture feeling and we could right. capture emotion and we could get people to release all their pent up energy all week,
yeah.
have a good time, yeah. dance and enjoy the music, whether right. it was covers or whether it was originals, people still came out for that reason.
Yeah.
So what happened to that is, and how do we get that feeling
that
back?
That is a great point because like you guys were just talking about it's not even just the TVs and the beers. It's that everybody has a content delivery system in their hand all the time. No matter where you are, if you're at a bar or whatever it is, now as an artist, you're competing with content from everywhere. So to really stand out, you don't have to just be the best person in the room. You got to be the best person in the room. Plus the most interesting thing happening on Facebook, and you know what I mean? Like you have to really rise above a lot of other media.
Oh, you have to be badass to stand out these days.
And
you
it really takes belief that face-to-face experience and a community experience where you're around other people who are passionate about the same thing. I mean, I'm still like, given that, you know, like kind of that like drowsy, bleak picture that I just painted, I really am a huge believer in an incredible capacity for live music to be a revelation to people because I've experienced something that there's a before a concert that I a certain concert that I went to and then there's after that concert in my life and it's because it was such an all-encompassing experience. I mean the smells, the way that the audience was cheering so loud that it shook my cup and the way that I felt like the speakers were just blasting me clean of all of the you know filth that you pick up on the day-to-day. It was really a rapturous experience and I think that there is that capability for live performance to encapsulate all of those things and bring something to people that really they can't get through their newsfeed, but that we have to rise above this kind of lachrymose, bleak context that we find ourselves in a lot of times and try to find and innovate ways to bring that experience to people because that's our job as artists.
I believe that's going to come with downsizing at some point. I believe that's going to come with getting back to simplicity where you walk into a bar and it's a music venue and there's no TVs.
It's a house concert.
Yes, or we turn the TVs off for the evening. Or
we just had 70 people in our backyard here for a house concert.
Oh, that's
everybody
awesome.
Sat on blankets and listened to music for 2.5 hours.
That's amazing.
And loved it and wanted to know when we were having the next one.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And were you actually playing that? Or
no,
did you...
I wasn't. I was enjoying the concert with Illuminate
nice. What
in my hand.
What band was playing that?
It was an artist that we just released an EP for. Her name's Tessa Marie. And then opening for her was another artist that we work with. His name's Nicholas David. So
that's awesome. A
couple of great songwriters, yeah.
One of the things you were talking about just now, I just watched a beyond amazing documentary called Alive Inside. Have you heard of
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I've seen the...
Did you see the trailers?
I've seen a portion of it. And someone was just telling me how that inspired them to go in this career of musical therapy.
Yeah. Well, it definitely inspired me. I'm signed up, I believe, for like November 24th to take the class and get certified. I am really, really excited. So for those of you who haven't seen this documentary, get on Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, you probably can watch all the episodes and
give us
portions
a synopsis real quick. What's the
on YouTube? Okay, so message. Alive Inside, this gentleman from New York City, or I believe upstate New York, goes into nursing homes and he finds out. He goes to meet Alzheimer's patients mm-hmm. and people with dementia.
Right,
and he goes in there and he finds out roughly the age of these patients. And then he does a little research and finds out what the popular music was back in their day.
Yeah.
He puts and loads the songs up onto an iPod. And so at the beginning of the movie, there's a gentleman sitting in the wheelchair, and he's got his head slumped down, and he's kind of drooling on himself, and they're asking him some questions. What year were you born? Can you tell us anything about your childhood? Yeah. And he's an Alzheimer's patient, and he doesn't remember anything, not one bit about his childhood. So he was a big gospel music fan. Yeah. So the main guy in Alive Inside puts some headphones on, and he starts playing some gospel music from his generation, and instantly, this guy sat straight up, perked up, had the biggest smile on his face, yeah. and was just alive. And I was almost in tears, because my mom passed away 2 years ago from Parkinson's. And before I lost her, my mom pretty much lost all of her motor skills, lost her memory. And I really wish I had known about that, because my mom was a music fan.
Yeah.
And I really would have loved to bring back some memories before she passed. But it was so amazing to see these people just become alive again.
Yeah.
And he does that with multiple patients. So what I'm getting certified for is to be able to go into these nursing homes, and I'm going to do what they call an iPod drive.
Yeah.
Once I get certified, I'm going to ask people to donate any used iPods, and those iPods will go to the nursing home of my choice. And hopefully they will be able to use them, and we'll load up some music on there, and I'll just spend a couple hours once a week, Saturday or Sunday, going in and playing music for people.
Yeah.
And but more importantly, the people that he put the music on for were instantly able to recall events from their childhood. And they on this documentary, they have a scientist on there, and he explains the part of the brain that is in charge of music and memory.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains that within these patients, it is the only part of the brain that is not affected. And wow. That they can still recall that when they hear this music, it's able to recall all their memories from yeah. that particular moment
right.
and that particular time. So if you have a chance, watch the documentary.
Well, and can't we relate? I mean, like not being at that level of mental difficulty, but times when we feel less than fully alive and you put something on that just reminds you who you are. You know, I think everybody can experience that to some degree and imagine the level of how great that must feel for somebody who's dealt with mental problems at that level of decrement. So
let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard a new song and instantly thought of an old memory?
Oh, that's a good question.
I had this experience last week. The David Brimer, who was on episode 2,
uh-huh.
I was doing a little research, and I checked out one of his jazz fusion songs. Mm-hmm. I love fusion. And I've never heard the song before, and it instantly brought back memories of me hiking in Colorado.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which I thought was unique and interesting, because I had never heard the song before.
Hmm. Yeah. I can't think of any examples now. Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that like certain styles of music can take you back to a place where you had connected with those styles of music before, if it's something you don't listen to.
Music is yeah. definitely powerful. And for those who have not heard of Custom Tracks, what is the best way someone can reach out to you and get some more information about Custom Tracks?
Yeah, you can just call me. My number is 352-229-4867. If you're an artist that needs help with anything in your career, specifically if you need tracks, that's our main service that we offer. If you need help getting world-class musicians to record your songs, to take them to that next level where you can stand out, that's what we do. But we also have an online singer-songwriter night where you can workshop your songs to other songwriters and get feedback from anywhere around the world. We also have a blog where you can find out a lot of information about production, marketing your music, and songwriting. So, you know, we're trying to help people with whatever stage they're at. We're going to have live streams and webinars, which John is going to be soon included with, that can, yeah, can help you get some experience with the business.
Looking forward to that. Sweet.
If you're trying to get to the next level, just reach out to us and we'll try to help you with whatever it is that, whatever stage you're in, try to get you the resources you need.
Awesome. And give me that number one more time for the people listening.
That number is 352-229-4867. You can also go to customtracks.com, custom-tracks.com, or Instagram's another good place to get information, which is at custom_tracks.
Sweet. And now we'll be able to replay tonight's broadcast as well, correct? Of the second, is this the second business you've done, or have you done more showcases?
The biz night that we're having tonight.
Yeah, the biz night.
This is our second one. We haven't filmed them in the past, but that was only because the past was our first one, so we were just happy to pull it off in the first place.
Sweet.
We may upgrade to filming tonight, and yeah, absolutely. I'd love to make that accessible to people listening.
Awesome. Well, I greatly appreciate your time for coming on.
I greatly appreciate you coming all the way out here, man.
Oh, dude, I love it. I love traveling. I love being on the road. I love talking about the business.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, man. Much love.